You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of May, 2014. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was a busy day here. I bet you were there, too.
Very busy day, very busy month, too, Todd, and that was a really busy month in the wheat market, down 13% on the month in soft red wheat. That's the biggest monthly loss in 2 years. So you're sitting here saying, how in the world did the corn go lower, even though we got caught up on planting progress this past week? And I think you got to put the majority of the reason at the feet of the wheat market after that kind of a month.
Yeah, so on the monthly, it was down what? It posted an outside down. It was down 92 cents. That was a long drop.
Ugly drop. And I did some research because I've heard a lot from the trade about how good the soft red wheat is. And in fact, Reuters put out a news report last night about southern Illinois early crop yield trials and test plots looking, you know, 10 to 15% better than last year. And I went ahead and looked at the very poor and poor conditions for the, you know, four of the top states in soft red wheat, four of the top states in hard red wheat. And for very poor and poor conditions, all four of the soft red wheat states are higher in very poor and poor combined. And two of the four in hard red are higher in a worse shape or worse condition than last year at this time. So I think the perception in the wheat market about the crop potential in soft red, the market sentiment and perception about El Nino bringing in a much bigger food grain and feed grain supply this coming year, and in the market perception about Central Europe and the Baltic states calming down geopolitically, all had their day and really gave the bear the strength of the month of May.
So I have a note here, and let's see, I think this is on the soft red, that they, on the monthly, did it gap lower as well?
It may have. I haven't looked at the monthly chart. I was looking at the weekly and the daily charts before we went on the air, but it may have, because I do think there's a little bit of a little flat gap, so to speak, where it's not much difference between the previous month's low.
Oh, you know what? That is not the monthly. That is the weekly.
I
just pulled it up because I was looking at it and thinking, no, that's not right.
The weekly chart has one in it for sure. But that's, there is a little flat gap there in the weekly chart. And there's still a gap down below the market. I think I want to say it's around 630, if I remember right. I'm not looking at the chart right now, but there's a gap above the market and below the market. So, like we talked about this morning, it seems like wheat looks like 2010, where I think we could expect, if these crop conditions end up being correct and accurate, we could expect maybe a weekly low or a major seasonal low by the second week of June, like we did in 2010 for the soft red wheat.
So that would be good news, because it would come, which would be a little bit unusual, as most of the guys are finishing harvest or in the midst of their harvest for soft red winter wheat here in our part of the world.
Yeah, just starting is exactly right. A lot of guys really try and wait till the end of June to get it dried down and get it as, get a high as quality protein as possible. I think this is where it goes back to the corn market, and if we could get a low in the wheat market. I found it very odd for the corn market in the December contract falling over 8% since the end of March as of today's close, because today's the end of May, obviously. And that puts us within 25 cents now of the January 10th low, that major low back around 435. Well, if you look at the carryover level since January 10th, USDA's dropped the carryover in corn by 485 million bushels. That's a 30% decline since January in the last three reports. And I think this is where the cash market's really starting to show a little bit more life as we got into the end of this week. And so I think the corn market is ready for a test to the upside, or at least a retracement to the upside once the wheat market gets done going down.
And nonetheless, it wasn't able to hold, at least on the new crop December contract. The 463 area is above 460. It's right at, 465 and three quarters in the July. So it's got to hold this place.
You're right, because what happened this week was we went below the 200-day moving average in July, and then we went up and tested it and failed and told the market, we're confirming this as the new resistance level. So you've got a limited amount of time. It's kind of like a time bomb with those technicals. You've probably got a limited number of days, maybe the beginning of this week or through the middle of next week, I should say, that you would get a retest of that 472.5 200-day moving average. You get above it, no harm done. But if you stay below it for, you know, several trading days in a row, the trade may start to ramp up for another leg down, much like they did in the wheat.
Okay, so the ratio, you talk about this, the corn-soybean ratio quite a bit. It changed at the end of the May, and it says more beans, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that the producers in the Northwestern Belt followed that advice?
You know, you bring up a huge point because I have a hard time thinking that North Dakota was able to plant 50% of its corn in 1 week. And if it did, those got to be some pretty ugly looking fields. If you were running that hard and putting 50% of your fields, that or you don't have any acres up there to begin with. But be that as it may, the USDA planting progress report would say you're not going to see many more bean acres, especially out of corn or spring wheat. But I just got off the phone 5 minutes before you called with a very a loyal listener to Will Radio from central Illinois, not far from Shelbyville, southern area, maybe from the central part. And he was talking about driving from Shelbyville up to Rockford and how many bigger bean acres as far as number of fields side by side that he saw around the La Salle, Peru area. And I'll have to say Roger Ward told me the exact same thing when I talked to him over in Jacksonville this morning. So this brings up the issue, has the market been able to entice the producer to plant more beans? And I guess it's there in some respects, but the anecdotal evidence from my clients for as a whole from both sides of the Mississippi River would say, no, the corn went in really well. They got their areas in time before the rains came. Except for maybe the northern parts of Illinois and Indiana.
Hey, did Roger, and for those who don't know him, Roger is a farm broadcaster based in Jacksonville, and you talk to him on Fridays on a regular basis, too. Did he talk very much to you about the dryness in his area? Because it is now set at abnormal, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He did talk about that, and that's where the 30-day outlook by most meteorologists is saying starting next week, you're going to get greenhouse conditions. You're going to get 2 inches of rain. You're going to be in the 80s. The month of June and most of the 30-day precip maps that I have been looking at from weather people is that you're going to have above normal precip in the month of June. And I got to tell you, Todd, you got to have it because with the way this crop went in, I think it needs a really good drink here in the early part of June or it's going to go backwards. And I really question, and maybe we can talk about this more on Commodity Week, but I really question whether we got a 165 national yield being grown out there right now.
We'll have to take that up and what it looks like. You know, do you feel better about the beans than you do about the corn?
Yeah, I think I do from a standpoint of the meal market. It held up super well given some of the negative fundamentals this week.
Yeah, I meant yield-wise.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant price-wise. No, in fact, I guess what I have heard, and this goes back to why they would probably be putting more corn acres in than bean acres, is a lot of the clients from Bloomington all the way up to Lake Michigan are really scratching their head about their bean stands right now and their emergence especially. And so that seemed to be an area, a strip that got a lot of extra rain. And so I don't think the yields are that great in the beans yet either. And I really wonder how USDA is going to act at the end of June. Now, this is where your hedging mindset really has to be very protected going into the June report because it's actually probably more uncertainty on the table than more certainty just because of this early weather pattern.
Hey, for the second week in a row, you started to mention meal, but it finished above $500.
It did, and that cash meal, I think, in the Midwest is going to stay in that price level, Todd, until we encourage enough beans or meal into this country because we're right there at 99%, or excuse me, 103%, of total bean commitments compared to what we should be at this point in time, and we're only on week 38 of the marketing year.